Well, as we mentioned, we are just days away from the long-awaited 2020 federal budget, delayed, of course. The government has already signalled where it intends to spend some of its money, but expectations remain for some big recession-busting projects. 75 years ago, the government of Ben Chifley wasn't grappling with a pandemic, but it faced the enormous challenge of kickstarting the economy after the war. So, are there any lessons we can take from that Chifley budget? Eleni Soltis has this.
Fellow citizens, the war is over. The Japanese government has accepted the terms of surrender imposed by the Allied nations.
Announcing the war's end in a national broadcast, Prime Minister Ben Chifley urged Australians to celebrate, but he also used his victory speech to look ahead.
I ask that the state governments and all sections of the community should cooperate in facing the tasks and solving the problems that are ahead. Let us join together in the march of our nation to future greatness.
And in Ben Chifley's mind, future greatness entailed a great workforce with all hands on deck. But his plans to rebuild the nation began well before the end of the war.
Even as early as 1942, the then Prime Minister John Curtin established a Department of Post-War Reconstruction, and he put the Treasurer and later Prime Minister Ben Chifley in charge of that department. And the department had three major commissions: a Secondary Industries Commission, a Rural Reconstruction Commission, and a Housing Commission, and other associated committees such as an Office of Education, which all set about planning and consulting and coordinating with other departments the process of how to reconstruct Australia in the immediate years after the Second World War.
David Lee is an historian and an associate professor at the School of Humanities and Social Sciences at the University of New South Wales. He says this new agency for post-war reconstruction played a critical role in forming major tax and social welfare reforms, as well as the government's policy on getting people into jobs. There was also the 1945 White Paper on Full Employment,
which basically aimed at the Commonwealth government henceforth aiming at maintaining full employment or as high as possible levels of employment. And that was something that was meant to redress the deleterious consequences of the Great Depression. So that policy aimed at using Keynesian demand methods to keep employment high. And actually, the full employment policy was kept up by later governments, such as the Menzies government in the 50s and 60s. And that full employment and high levels of employment lasted right up until the 1970s.
And that was the start of the Commonwealth Employment Service, wasn't it?
Exactly. So the Commonwealth Employment Service, which came into effect in 1945, was devised to match jobs with job seekers and was an agency run by the Commonwealth government. Underpinning the full employment policy were also social welfare initiatives such as unemployment and sickness benefits, and things such as the pharmaceutical benefits scheme, which was legislated in 1947 and provided low-cost medicines to the Australian people. That social welfare safety net was very important.
Large-scale immigration also got underway, critical for the big infrastructure projects that drove the post-war recovery.
For almost 70 years, we talked about diverting the Snowy River inland and making use of the vast annual source of water from the melting snows on the Great Dividing Range. But it wasn't until 1949 that the scheme got the green light and the first surveyors went out. Australia needs power. Power to increase our production. Power to improve our living standards. And the Snowy has already started to supply it.
Ben Chifley oversaw a manufacturing renaissance.
The war ended. Just prior to that, the Australian government had issued the challenge to make an Australian car. GMH accepted the challenge.
And that challenge led to the production of
the Holden. Australia's Prime Minister, Mr. Chifley, is one of the first to inspect the completed model.
The first Holden produced in Australia rolled out of the Fisherman's Bend factory in Melbourne on the 29th of November 1948. More than 1,200 guests were there to witness this historic moment.
Among the 1,200 guests here today are representatives of the judiciary, the federal government, the state government, the consular service, the city and municipal councils, the armed services, the universities, the churches, the trade unions, the banks, the press, and a great number of other distinguished citizens who have come to take part in this history-making event.
In today's pandemic, the federal and state governments have been urging industries to repurpose and help in a bid to avoid a shortage of medical equipment, cleaning products and protective gear. And David Lee says during the Second World War, necessity was also the mother of invention.
It's ironic, actually, that Australia was able to manufacture aircraft before we actually manufactured fully a motor car. But the Second World War actually demonstrated the abilities of Australians in the manufacturing field, and that was something that was carried over in the period of post-war reconstruction.
Do you see parallels with the Chifley government and what Prime Minister Scott Morrison is doing now?
I think there are parallels in a number of areas. So we have a high degree of indebtedness today that is a result of things like JobSeeker and JobKeeper needing to cover for the loss of employment that COVID's created. And we've also seen damage to a lot of industries, such as the university sector, the hospitality sector, tourism. All these big major industries have been hit hard. And so there's really a demand or a need for really extensive reconstruction of the Australian economy, because some of these industries, even, you know, if a vaccine for COVID eventuates, may not fully come back. So there's a period of serious adjustment that's going to need to be undertaken in Australia. I think that's comparable with what happened in the immediate years after the Second World War.
Earlier this year, the federal government established the COVID-19 Coordination Commission, now called the Advisory Board, led by former mining boss Nev Power. The government has also released its technology investment roadmap, and more than $1 billion will be pumped into the manufacturing sector. All of these measures aimed at bolstering Australia's economy through this recession. James Walter is an Emeritus Professor of Politics at Monash University. He also co-authored the book, The Australian Prime Ministership, From Federation to Reconstruction. For him, the Morrison government's response to the pandemic differs greatly to Ben Chifley's.
Well, there's no parallel in the advisory structure. I would say that the Australian public service has been very good, but it's been diminished in the last couple of decades. The coalition governments have been particularly sceptical about it and have often sought their advice from outside. It's notable that while I think some in the public service, particularly in the Treasury, worked very well with Morrison during the pandemic crisis, the COVID Commission that was set up is peopled largely with private sector people. So clearly there, the signal there is that there will be a rapid return to private sector leadership. So I think there's quite a divergence there between the trust in the public sector and the belief that if there's to be a partnership, the public sector should take a leading role.
Next week, the federal government will unveil what is being touted as the most important budget since the end of the Second World War. Only then it will be made clear what the roadmap to recovery will look like.
A report from our Eleni Soltis.